Welcome back to the Wolfpack Leadership and Culture Podcast. My name is Pip, and I'm super excited to have you listening in today. If you haven't already, we'd love to have you like and subscribe to our podcast or share this to somebody who you think could benefit from developing their leadership and culture. Our goal is to help you get your team and your business to the top of its game. But for now, let's get started. On today's episode, we're going to talk to you about the open bar phenomenon, or the psychology of the open bar. Now, as it's October, people are starting to plan and consider what they're going to do for their end of year parties, especially here in Australia, New South Wales in particular. You know, lockdowns are starting to end, so people are starting to plan and envision how the end of the year is going to go, and they want to do something special. So we end up with the open bar phenomenon. Now, what this is businesses want to show their employees how much they value them. So they put on some big, fancy, flashy event. You know, I've seen businesses take their staff away to retreats, you know, resorts, they'll hire cruise boats, you know, big fancy dinner, open bar, bar tabs, whatever it might be. But ideally, the message of putting out there is, look how much money we're spending on you. We must truly value you. But in reality, there's actually an underlying message that the staff can be sending back to you as a leader. And it can actually be quite toxic and negative if you are an organization who does this, who throws these big flashy events at your team, because it might actually be doing more harm than good. And this is why. It doesn't take a math genius to go into any event, be it a friend's party, a corporate event, whatever it is, a wedding, and start to look at things and using their own personal experience to begin to put a price tag to things. You know, you can walk into a room and say, you know, look at the food, look at the venue, look at the decorations, look at the drinks. You know, you may have even told people how much money something's cost. So they can start actually putting a true number, and that then exposes you to, you know, where your priorities may stem. Now, in business, one of the things, you know, we're always having to deal with is our cash flow. And in particular, when our team is coming to us saying that they need something in particular, maybe it's more resources and tools, you know, repairs, whatever it might be. And quite often we're told that's not in the budget, or we're having to say that's not in the budget. So when your employees, if they've been dealing with this and they've got frustrations built up, and you know, they're stressed because the gear's not working properly, their job's so much harder because of X, Y, and Z, but ultimately if they had new equipment, it'd be better. And they come into this event and just go, see, whoa, man, wow, you know, look how much money they spent. You know, a quarter of this would have, you know, solved all of my problems. Heck, even a tenth of it would have made a massive improvement. But we've done this instead. You know, it really instills in their mind the pain points that they have, but how they feel the organization treats them, or how the organization actually values them and their feedback and input. So if when they get in this position, they can actually start to disconnect from giving any feedback. If all they see is, you know, you throwing money at this big event, and you're also being telling them that it's not in the budgets, you know, but this is, the priorities don't actually align with the business itself. The business's, you know, priorities should be the success, growth, and feasibility in the operations. However, if we prioritize spending all this money on an end of year, you know, events, that itself, you know, contradicts things. So they can actually view it as, you know, why would I give them any feedback? You know, they don't listen to me anyways. This is where things can start getting a bit toxic within the workplace, especially, you know, if people already have some pains, and their frustrations will grow even further. They'll feel as if you as a boss, you're not listening to them, you don't care about them, and there's no need for them to give any input, so why bother? And as a manager, as a leader, we know how important it is for our frontline workers to give us that feedback. It's the only way we can naturally move forward, because they have insights into things that we're just completely unaware of. So we need them to give us feedback. But if we're saying one thing and doing the complete opposite by having these big events where we're declining them the resources that they need to do their job better, they will stop giving us that feedback because, well, there's no point. So you've already proven to them that it doesn't matter what they say. Now, I really want to dive into the whole psychology and the phenomenon behind the open bar principle. I've seen this countless times in my life. You know, business will throw an end of year festivity and they say, hey, you know, we're going to put on all the food. We're going to put on all the drinks. It's not going to cost you anything. So what people start doing, especially when you have people who are frustrated and disheartened in how they've been handled and managed throughout the year, is they'll look around this room and they'll look at what you're presenting to them. And as I said earlier, they'll start running those tallies in their head and calculate how much has been spent or how much that they themselves can recoup in losses. Now, this is where the psychology of the open bar really takes place. If an employee feels or has been made to work extra hours, you know, miss out on special events for their life, you know, they're not getting the recognition. If they feel slighted, in particular, if they feel slighted in a financial way, they will approach this festivity as a chance for remuneration. What I mean is that they are going to try to get what is owed to them in their own mind. And I've literally heard people say this, that I am going to eat and drink at least X amount of dollars because that is the bare minimum that the company owes me. And this is the language that people either consciously or subconsciously say. So I really want you to consider how your team is feeling and thinking, especially as this year, after, you know, some of us have been struggling with lockdowns and, you know, business struggles, is throwing a big flash event good, or is it going to just really make people drop into a negative space? And I've talked to people about this. It's like, my team loves the end of year event. They eat and drink so much. I'm like, well, are they actually enjoying it, or are they simply milking you for the money that they feel that they are owed? There's a clear difference of enjoying yourself and going above board and trying to get back what is owed to you. And that is a major aspect. There are a lot of businesses overlook when they consider their parties. It's like, oh, we'll show them how much we value them and we'll buy all these things. We'll pay a big open bar tab. No problem, whatever. But all it's really doing is instilling those negative emotions and those, the past, we'll call them traumas from the workplace, and reminding them that the company doesn't really care about them as on an individual basis, but they're going to do this big flashy thing so it looks like they care. Let's put it this way. If your car is not working effectively, do you take it to the mechanic or do you take it to the car wash? Well, if we're using this analogy to relate to how many businesses approach their team, we would take the car to the car wash to make the car look good. It doesn't matter how it runs, so long as the appearance is that it's good. This is the real big factor. This is where that whole open bar psychology comes in, is that people feel as though that they're being, you know, bribed or paid off, and they're going to take that and they're going to run with this. You know, I'm going to drink as much as I possibly can. I'm going to take a taxi home. I'm going to drink until I can't walk anymore because I am owed this. And this year, I'd love you to look around at your next event you have and see, do you have people who maybe appearingly to have fun, but are truly working your funds as hard as possible to, you know, milk as much out of this event as possible because they feel slighted. They feel as though that the organization owes them something, because this is a very toxic thing. And although on the surface, you might look like you're having a fantastic team event, what you're really doing is making things worse in the workplace. Because when everyone returns back to work, they're just going to, you know, lose all those good memories they had about that big, fancy, flashy event you just hosted. And they're going to see the same broken down equipment, the same tools that don't work, the missing resources, the short staff. They're going to go, you know what? Maybe if they took us to the beach and we had a barbecue, we could have afforded the new equipment and our life would be actually better. This is why it's really important that when we're considering running these events this year, that we consider the psychology of the open bar. And is this going to actually benefit the team? And what is going to actually be better for the team? People want to feel valued and appreciated. But how we do that is we do that by listening to our team. So when you're considering what can we do and you, how much money can we spend, I want you to also consider what's in the budget. Is there anything that I could do for the team that will actually benefit them? And I mean truly benefit them. Hire somebody new, update some tools, whatever. But is there something that I can do that's going to make life better for my team? And how much will I then have left over for a party? because that is an amazing thing. Imagine bringing your team to a small pub or a park, or, you know, perhaps you can invite them to your house. And who knows what kind of dynamics you have. You might have a team that you can invite over to your place, or, you know, whatever it might be. But can you just imagine having everyone together and say, hey, this year I know it might not look like we're having a massive party, but what I really wanted to do is to show you how much I really do care about you. And I've been thinking about all the things you've been asking, and I found that this is something that the team has been saying that we truly need, that we've been struggling in these areas, and, you know, it's been making your life difficult. So what we as an organization have decided to do is we're going to upgrade all the computers, because you're saying that the tech we're using is so old, things are slow, it just makes your job so much harder. So to help you all, you know, we've upgraded everything. We're giving, you know, new computers or new machinery, whatever it might be. But what you're saying is you're addressing the needs that they have. You're actually giving them something that's going to benefit their life professionally and personally. And this is where people often forget, is that there's a personal connection and a personal development that you can actually do for your team by caring and actually addressing their needs. You see, if your team is constantly stressed about the lack of resources and support that they feel, they're going to take that stress home. And their partners are going to hear all these negative things about the business, about you, about how things work. And they're going to feel underappreciated, undervalued. And you're actually going to give yourself a bad reputation with the partner. The partner is not going to be on your side or be supportive with you moving forward. But if you can say, hey, we're going to do X for the team, because the budget was going to be X amount of money for the end of year event, but if I do this, I can actually benefit them. The team's actually going to have a positive impact in their personal life as well. And the event will end. They'll go home and say, you know, honey, it was pretty chilled, it was pretty quiet, but, you know, they did this amazing thing for us. They actually listened to us. And rather than, you know, spend all this money on some big flashy event, they actually cared about us. And they invested in some things that are going to really make our life better. So this is going to be fantastic. And as time goes on, they're going to come home, you know, more relaxed and happier, because they're going to feel as though that you did actually care about them. It's going to do some true benefits to them, and they'll be happier when they go home, be less stressed. It's just gonna be a better flow and effect with everything they do. But if we simply throw an open bar at them, they're going to try to milk you for every dollar you're worth. And you can actually review this financially and see how this has impacted you. Look at your past events and how much money you've actually spent at your events, and also correlate that with your staff retention and staff morale, especially if you're managing staff morale. If people are drinking and consuming more, so your event budgets are super high and your staff retention is super low, well, there's a direct correlation. People are unhappy, so they're going to try and milk you for as much as humanly possible. And you can see ebbs and flows as, you know, your morale boosts directly after the event, but then drops promptly afterwards when they realize that, you know, they've been paid off, basically. They feel super cheap because they've taken this, you know, fancy event, but it's not really doing anything for them. This is the psychology and the impacts it can have of, you know, hosting these events that are super flashy, where you cover all the expenses. And I strongly advise that, you know, you take the time to, you know, do something for your team and give them something good, but you need to do it in a way that it reflects the business and reflects the needs of the actual team and the actual organization. Don't overindulge because you think that's how you should do it, how you should show people that you love them. We all have different love language. For some of us, it is buying presents, but it's also important that when we're in leadership, we need to listen to our team and address their actual concerns. So for this year, really, before you drop big bucks on anything, really assess, what outcome do I want, and will this get me the outcome I'm seeking? Will me spending all this money actually be a benefit to my team, or could it, you know, do some detriment? Will I perhaps, you know, cause some more ripples in the team? And what could be a better use of my money? You know, if I was to do this instead, you know, will the team be happier actually for long term, or is this going to be a short term fix? Because this is the psychology you need to consider when it comes to your end of year party. And I know some of you might be thinking, this is ridiculous. We're talking about end of year Christmas party. Just do something big and flashy. Well, no, because it speaks volumes to your team and it has a serious impact. You know, certain businesses who have a great culture can also have amazing flashy parties, but they're doing stuff throughout the year, which is, you know, allowing them to have these positive events. And you can have, you know, open bars and all these fancy things for your team if you have a great culture and great team, but it takes, you know, it goes in both ways. If your team is asking you for something that's going to improve business, their job, make their life easier, safer, whatever it might be, and you're saying no, and you have a big party, well, it's contradictory. But if you say yes, and then you're still able to have that big party because business is actually better, well, you know, that's how you should do these things. So it's important that you address these areas and make sure that what you're doing, you know, makes sense, is actually in tone with your what you're trying to achieve with your team. I do hope you got something out of today's podcast about the psychology of the open bar. The biggest takeaway I want you to remember is that if you have an open bar, watch your team. Are they drinking and eating to excess because they feel that they are owed something? And this is often out of spite, out of frustration. They feel slighted by the organization. Well, then you've got a toxic culture. You need to actually address something and do something proper to work on your team and to make some changes within your organization. Or is your team celebrating in unity and everyone's truly, genuinely happy and they're not excessively, you know, trying to recoup a loss? You know, they're there socializing, having fun, and this is a positive events. It's something that you truly need to monitor as a leader, especially when you start organizing these events. But I do thank you for your time, and please, if you haven't already, please make sure you like and subscribe to the Wolfpack Leadership and Culture podcast. My name is Pip. Our contact details are within the description of the podcast. Please feel free to reach out if you have any questions, comments, or if you'd like to be part of the podcast. If you have something that you think would be beneficial to discuss all about leadership, culture, and team building, we'd absolutely love to hear from you. But remember, you got this.